The opinions presented in this program may not reflect the views of the University of Connecticut, WHUS Radio, or the staff of the station. Some content may not be suitable for all audiences.
When I studied in Paris, in France, many people asked about my identity. My name is Danielle Chaloux. It's a very French-sounding name, but when I explained that no, actually, I'm American, the secretaries at the university, professors, my language partner, no one was really satisfied with that response. And the follow-up question was, but where's your family from? For my first-generation friends, it's a question that they're very familiar with. But as for me, I was born in Norwalk, Connecticut, like my mother and my father and most of my grandparents. My identity as an American had never been called into question. My time in Paris made me think about big questions of identity, about cultural identity, national identity, religious identity. My heritage is a mix of European nationalities, but I'm not Lithuanian or English or Polish or French. I'm American, and I'm proud to be a citizen of this country, a melting pot of ideas and customs, of languages and religions. If the United States was the first to adopt the term melting pot, the entire world is now a modern world of immigration and a multiplicity of cultures, where curry is the national dish of the United Kingdom and major cities around the world boast thriving Chinatowns. It's in this world of cultural exchange that xenophobic and nationalist rhetoric is on the rise. And it's in this world, our interconnected and busy world, our beautiful and completely crazy world, that I'm asking the following questions. How is it possible to identify oneself in such a world? Is it still possible? What do the words "I am" really mean? I am, and you are, a complex individual, with many elements composing one identity. But we are all part of a society, one that is also made up of many elements. History, culture, reciprocal dependence, similarities, and even differences. All of these aspects create a society. This podcast is an investigation of a few of those elements of French society. In this first episode, we'll talk about religion, specifically the principle of laïcité in France. We'll talk about the conflict between this principle and another that is at the heart of the French Republic, that of individual liberty. At the center of this conflict, the debate surrounding the Islamic headscarf or a hijab.
You vois, moi, Rim.
Me, Rim. Before wearing the hijab, I was a girl, you know, and after wearing the hijab, I've just changed my clothes. I haven't changed my personality. I've stayed the same girl. If anything, I've actually become a better person by wearing the hijab.
Devenue une personne meilleure à cause du port du voile. Je m'appelle Rim Rajab.
My name is Rim Rajab. I'm 22 years old. I'm a master's student in economic and political analysis at the Université Lumière Lyon 2. It's the second year that I'm spending in France. I'm Tunisian. Maybe people don't know where Tunisia is. It's in North Africa. And what else? I guess that's it.
Et quoi d'autre? C'est tout.
I met Reem 2 years ago when she came to UConn with a social entrepreneur program sponsored by the State Department of the United States. The students, 20 from North Africa and 20 from Sub-Saharan Africa, participated in classes, took field trips, and spent a weekend with an American family.
The SUSY program helped me to open up to American culture. I already liked American movies and TV series, so I had a general idea, but I was seeing everything through the lens of the media, through TV shows, through movies. So to actually see it in reality really helped me to solidify these ideas. So I better understand the history of the United States by going to museums and everything. It was really an exceptional experience, and it still rests in my thoughts.
So it was good.
It was excellent.
And for me, it was very interesting to meet all these people from all over the world, and now we keep in touch, and
that's it.
And we live in the future, and for me, it's very interesting.
Me too. I like it a lot.
Nous habitons l'avenir. Et ouais. c'est très, pour moi, c'est très intéressant.
Moi aussi, j'aime bien.
I grew up in the countryside of Connecticut. The overwhelming majority of my classmates were white. A few students of Asian descent and maybe four or five black students in the entirety of the school district. When I met Reem and Salsa and Rawan, these women who had decided to wear the hijab, it was the first time that I had the opportunity to talk with someone who had made this choice. And during our weekend together, I found that my assumptions had reduced complex individuals to an oversimplified representation of an entire religion. And even when I asked the question, excuse me if it's a rude question, but why do you wear the hijab? Reem anticipated my assumptions.
As a Tunisian in Tunisia, it's true that it's a Muslim country, but wearing the hijab is, you see, it's not your parents or your family that obligates you to wear the hijab. It's really rare to find that. It's a personal conviction. It's up for you to decide for yourself individually if you want to wear it or not.
Individuel, si tu veux le porter ou pas.
For Reem, it was a trip to Mecca at the age of 18 that was the catalyst to wear the hijab.
Quand j'ai vu qu'il y avait vraiment des gens de partout qui...
When I saw that there were people from everywhere that believed in Allah, in God, and who didn't even speak Arabic, I really felt the importance of this religion. I don't know if it's something that can be explained. It's a strong feeling that pushes you to make this decision because it's like an engagement with God. After that, when I returned to Tunisia, I decided to wear the hijab. It wasn't my parents that pushed me, not at all. It was a really personal thing, a personal decision.
C'était vraiment un truc personnel, une décision personnelle.
Wearing the hijab is perceived by many in the West as a symbol of oppression. But for the women who wear it, it's a symbol with many meanings.
Politicians take a judgmental position on the hijab, a general position on the hijab, and say that it's a submission of women. And when we meet women, I know women who wear the hijab, they are not subdued. There are cases where women wear the hijab by submission, but there are women who wear the hijab as a choice. It's not a, oh, poor dear, you think that you're doing that and you're free, but really, you're just subjected to it. It's not true. I know women who wear the hijab who are radiant, and it was shocking to me to see that.
To wear the hijab is a choice, a representation of freedom, a connection to a cultural history. But in France, the principle of laïcité turns the wearing of the hijab into more than a simple personal decision. Separation between church and state is a fundamental idea to the governments of both the United States and France, but the understanding of this idea is very different in the two countries.
With secularism, the state is expected to be neutral in regards to matters of religious faith. The government does not impose its will and is not supposed to endorse, promote, or suppress any specific religion. Laicism grants the state a more active role. The state can intervene to promote a secular way of life and prevent or discourage religion from playing an active role in the public sphere. Laicism seeks to relegate religion to the private sphere.
To put it another way,
du chacun chez soi.
Everyone in their own house, the Republic doesn't recognize, pay, or subsidize any of its religions.
With roots in the French Revolution and essential in the school laws of Jules Ferry,
free, obligatory, secular,
laïcité in France was codified in 1905 with the law of separation of church and the state. In the Constitution of 1958, the principle of laïcité and its importance to the French Republic was affirmed in the first article.
France shall be an indivisible, secular, democratic, and social republic. It shall ensure the equality of all citizens before the law, without distinction of origin, race, or religion. It shall respect all beliefs. It shall be organized on a decentralized basis. First Article of the Constitution of 1958.
The complication is evident. How can France respect all beliefs if these beliefs are in contradiction with laïcité? Tariq Ramadan is a professor, a writer, and one of the influential voices in the debate on the status of Islam in Western societies. Here is Mr. Ramadan on On n'est pas couché on September 26, 2009.
My friend, France has changed, and France must recognize today's plural reality of its memories and history.
For some, laïcité in schools is something good.
C'est la tolérance,
laïcité expresses tolerance. It's real tolerance, and secular schools are schools that are welcoming to all.
But for others, especially those who cannot represent themselves the way they want to, it's troubling.
In the public sector, it's forbidden to wear the hijab, and that's really unfortunate because it touches the freedoms of the people.
And here is another difficulty. The motto of the Republic is comprised of three big ideas.
Liberté, égalité, fraternité.
Liberty, equality, fraternity.
Here is the paradox.
Ils disent que c'est un pays,
They say it's a democratic country where you are free and you can wear what you want and do what you want. And in reality, there are many people who are victims of discrimination and racism because of their religion.
À cause de leur religion.
In 2007, a young Muslim refused that his wife be examined by a male doctor at the hospital. He was convicted of violence against the doctor. After the incident, the hospital put up a sign as a disclaimer.
Nous ne pouvons garantir.
We cannot guarantee that you'll be examined during your pregnancy by a woman. In case of refusal, we regret that we cannot register you for your delivery.
It's a conflict between two important principles in France. Here's Blandine Kriegel.
There are many rights. They have the right to choose their doctor, but we can't, to put it simply, recuse a doctor or a nurse because of their sex. Because that puts in play a principle that is fundamental to our society, that of equality.
According to the Dictionary Larousse, equality is the absence of all discrimination between human beings according to their rights. We, the human beings, are not blind to the differences between people. Through the course of our history, many people have been victims of discrimination caused by their religion, their sex, the color of their skin, their national origins. But equality is not uniformity or homogeneity. Everyone has different needs and desires. Liberty, as a fundamental principle, serves to allow each individual to make their own choice. In a country proud of liberty, what does it mean if, in the name of laïcité, someone is prevented from choosing which doctor to see or which clothes to wear? In 2004, a law on religious signs in French public schools introduced restrictions. Here is President Jacques Chirac.
Ostentatious religious signs must be banned in public, elementary, middle, and high schools.
Et les lycées publics.
In 1999, an opinion of the Council of State responded to this question.
It follows what has just been said, that in schools, a pupil's display of signs of their belonging to a religion is not in itself incompatible with the principle of secularism, as it constitutes the exercise of freedom of expression and the expression of religious beliefs, but that this freedom should not allow pupils to exhibit signs of religious affiliation which, by their nature, worn individually or collectively, or by their ostentatious or demanding character, constitute an act of pressure, provocation, proselytism, or propaganda, which would undermine the dignity or liberty of the pupil or other members of the community, compromise their health or their safety, disrupt the course of teaching activities and the educational role of the teacher, or finally, disrupt the order in the establishment or normal functioning of the public service.
With the 2004 law, freedom of expression and demonstration of religious beliefs was eliminated. Joan Scott, in her book The Politics of the Veil, explained it as follows.
Even if students remove their headscarves during school hours, they put them back on at the end of the day. They are thus constantly reminded that their religiosity does not fit within the requirements of the French state and have an experience repeated daily of difference and discrimination.
The school is a microcosm of the entire world. It's a place of learning and teaching. It's there that future citizens are formed, where we must teach them the real definition of tolerance. According to LaRousse, the attitude of someone to allow others manners of thinking and living different than one's own. Differences are not an attack. They furnish the interest and the texture in the world. Schools can be a place, and they must be a place, to explore the distinction between differences that must be tolerated and accepted and the differences that cannot be admitted to society. In France, the hijab has been placed in the second category, where the perception is that this piece of cloth is too far from the range of normal activities and even somehow dangerous, something that could have catastrophic consequences, when a woman's decision to cover her hair is her own business. A woman who wears the hijab doesn't interfere with the way of life or the liberty of someone else. I had the occasion to form my opinion in interacting with real people, someone who I needed to look at and consider to be another human being. I was nervous, uncertain, maybe even a little afraid when I picked up Rowan and Salsa to bring them to the house for the weekend. My family has welcomed many people over the years. English, Israelis, Chinese, Vietnamese, French, Malaysians, Tunisians, Egyptians, and each time, I come away from the experience with a deeper understanding that people are just people. My dad had some reflections about our weekend with Reem.
It was delightful, and it was enlightening, and it was educational. You know, these kinds of intercultural exchanges should be mandatory for everybody in the United States, because all we see is the stuff on television. And whoever is presenting, they're presenting what they want to show you. You don't see. And so we saw up close and personal, you know, a different perspective about you know, the women from a different part of the world, and Muslim women specifically. It was really, really a good weekend.
So greet the people with whom you share this crazy world with a smile and polite hello.
For example, for me, they didn't really look at me in a strange way or fear me because I wear the hijab. I don't know, I was, as usual, all the time smiling and polite, and that's what's important. That's what I understand about the French. You just must be polite, smiling, say hello and thank you. And it's a good principle. They don't make problems.
Pas de problème.
Before thanking some people, I would like to mention something that I noticed during my research. The pundits, the politicians, the people arguing both sides were mostly men. So I'd like to make a little bit of space here for Reem again.
I don't know. It's always difficult to change the world with all the problems we see every day, but I'll try my best.
This episode would not have been possible without the support of Christopher Bonet, Jason McMullen, Ali Oshinsky, Beata Hlinka, Selspil Takar, Yohan Kombaz, Andrew Monti, Danny Rubel, Kaylee Townsend, Jean-Luc Berthelot, Dana Reichler, Fakhreddin Nazimi, and my parents. This episode includes public comments from Tariq Ramadan, Sarah Forestier, Joan Scott, and content from the National Institute of the Audiovisual of France. And it's the Muslim women in my life, Salsa, Rowan, Zahar, and Reem Rajeb, who helped me to think seriously about the question of religious identity. The music is from soundofpicture.com. Thanks, Chad Crouch.